Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business.
What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the podcast. Excited today to be interviewing Ms. Michelle Berman, who is the CEO of Berman Media PD and the founder of the Instagram Power Method, is quickly becoming one of my favorite people in the industry, especially around the topic of Instagram. So I'm excited to interview her today, and I know that she's going to add as much value to you as possible. So Michelle, thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Excited.
Let's dive into this. Tell us, who are you? How did you get to where you are today? What's the story?
I love telling the story. So it's one of those things for me, it's kind of surreal to get to feel the actual feelings that I think are involved in the story. It's one of the, you know, I'm not typically a super emotional person, but this story is one of those things that kind of gets me fired up every time. And really how I got to where I am today is the true foundation of that has been, you know, being an athlete my entire life, leading into deciding that I was going to take a massive leap of faith and trust that I could do what I'm doing now without a whole lot of support in the beginning. So I graduated from college in 2012, went on to pursue a master's in social media public relations while working in, you know, corporate America, which is what we're all kind of taught to do when we graduate from college, especially by our parents, you know, the older generations, and very quickly realized that corporate America was not for me. There was a lot of issues in my mind as far as content development was concerned, creative freedom, even just the morals of how we charge people were just things that didn't super sit well with me. So I actually decided to quit and start my own company in November of 2014 as a 23, almost 24-year-old at the time. With the last $57 in my bank account, I literally did or used that to incorporate myself. And it was a super big, scary, you know, opportunity or chance that I kind of took on myself. And fast forward to January 2018, I was doing really well. A lot of things were going really well for me as far as the influencer space on Instagram that I had initially kind of started in. But the industry shifted a lot in that year. And what I decided to do was hire a business coach and get on an airplane and fly to the UK to meet him in real life. And it was also a very scary decision at the time, especially since I had never met him and I was staying with him and his wife, and my parents were like, "You're doing what?" But it was an exciting adventure. I ended up spending about 7 days straight in coffee shops with whiteboard paper and you know, a marker, and really mapping out my dream of what this company was really going to look like. And I ended up having the best 7 days probably that I've ever had in my entire life for lots of reasons. But ended up getting on an airplane, coming home, and making the decision that I was going to really focus on working with realtors and law officers. And so as soon as I landed back in the States, my business coach at the time had said, "You have to fire everyone that's not in that space," which at the time was about $15,000 a month in reoccurring revenue that I had to fire. So it was very scary. But once I made that decision, my business literally tripled, quadrupled within a matter of 6 to 8 months. And fast forward to last year, or July of 2019, I should say, the Instagram Power Method was born, and now we're here.
So tell me about that. What is the Instagram Power Method?
So the Instagram Power Method program was essentially born out of my desire to reverse engineer this mindset of people that make them feel like they have to just hire or delegate somebody or money to somebody else to do it for them. Right. So a lot of realtors and loan officers, you know, especially the more higher or the higher producing ones, a lot of times they think, "Oh, let me just give my money away to somebody and have them do it for me because I'm too busy to do it myself." And I really wanted to change that script. And my experience in the influencer space on Instagram prior to creating the program was that I was doing everything for everyone else. And I just thought, instead of that, how do I create something that's going to empower somebody to really want to do it themselves, thus leading to significantly better results, way higher conversion, better storytelling, all of the things that really matter, especially when it comes to producing and developing content.
Okay, that's awesome. So what do you see right now in the real estate industry? What are some things that maybe agents aren't doing the right way when it comes to Instagram?
So really the number one thing, which is kind of like nails on a chalkboard to me, is this concept of being mortified to niche down, right? People are so scared to make that decision because they feel like it's going to pigeonhole themselves or make it harder for them to earn business, or mean that certain people who maybe are outside of that niche won't reach out to them anymore. And you know, kind of in conjunction with that, this concept of I'm too old for this platform because it's for the millennials or it's for the young people. Those two things kind of combined, in my opinion, just kind of lead to this really big, I don't want to say paralyzation, but that's kind of what it is, right? People are just absolutely paralyzed by progress, and trying to take action because they're so worried that it's going to actually make it harder for them to get business than in what it actually is in reality.
Yeah, I could agree more. I think that, you know, the number one thing that we teach people is to know who you're marketing to. And I always say the person that works with everyone works with no one. Like if you're out there trying to market to everybody and please everybody and do all these types of things, you're literally crippling your production because when it comes to content creation specifically, it becomes so difficult to try to message something in a way so that everybody's going to understand it and agree with it and buy into it. Whereas like, for example, if we work with veterans, like we get to just think like we're creating content for a veteran. And then if somebody else watches it, that's cool. But I think you're right. I mean, if you go pick up any marketing book in the world, you could probably go buy 1,000 marketing books. Most of them will tell you the same thing first. Know who you are marketing to. Like that's an important part of the process. So when it comes to creating content and, you know, after somebody understands, like, okay, I know who I want to create content for. I know who my client is. What are some tips you're giving people right now that help them create? I know you always say that, you know, you want to help people create content that converts. How do I create content that converts to my ideal customer?
So the easiest and fastest way for me to answer that is by solving problems that your ideal clients didn't even know that they probably or might have. Maybe they know they have, maybe they're hyper aware of their own issues and their own problems, and maybe they're not. But as a realtor or as an LO, right, your job is to solve or come up with creative solutions to solve somebody's problem to get them into a house or to help them get a loan or get approved for a loan. So when you're creating content, how do you create content that's going to convert better? How do you create content that's going to actually make more people excited about it? The answer is really understanding your ideal client and their avatar, what that person actually looks like, in the sense of what are some of the common questions they've come to you with? What are some of the common problems that happen throughout a transaction that a lot of people don't like to talk about, right? Some of the maybe not as sexy topics that happen during a transaction. And also the customer service side of things, right? Because when we hire people, we're hiring the person. I don't care what the company is that you hang your license at. I certainly don't care what, you know, lender you work for, right? Or what corporation you work for, because I'm not hiring that. I'm hiring you. So those kind of three pillar of pieces of things, right? Of what are some of the major issues that you're going through or what an ideal client would be going through? And then how can you phrase it in the form of a question that somebody can read and say, me too, or hey, that's me, right? Or I can see myself in that situation because that story you just told about John and Mary, hey, that happened to me. So if you, realtor, were able to solve that John and Mary problem, then you could probably solve it for me and, you know, my spouse too.
So on this topic, I see agents share content all the time. And it really has kind of sparking this question based on what you're saying. How important is it to understand how to tell a story through your content?
Storytelling equals conversion. I literally post about that at least once a week in different forms. But storytelling equals conversion. And what do I mean by that? You know, when it comes to real estate stuff, right? We see these posts that people put out of like the 5 steps to the home buying process, or here's the calendar of events in my city for the next 30 days, right? None of that matters to me. Like, I don't care what the DTI requirements are for me to get approved for an FHA loan. Like, none of that makes any difference to me. I don't care about the 5 steps to, you know, winterizing my home to get it ready to, so that I don't have any issues with my home warranty over the winter. What I care about is, what are some situational issues or factors that have gone into causing those things to have to be created in the first place, right? And telling the story behind it. So what I mean is, you know, you see a just listed or a just sold post that an agent posts because they're obviously excited to share their transactional history, but they just say, congrats to John and Mary. So excited that I was able to help you with this journey. But what they leave out is, what did they actually do for John and Mary during that, that would make somebody else decide that they're, that agent is the right person for them and that they should hire them and give them, you know, or all of their money and make the biggest financial decision of their life, buying a home. So storytelling is one of those things that I think is a craft that has to be nurtured and developed over time. But if you focus on the actual experiences and, you know, having these characters that you can tell a story around that you've worked with, you know, and every internet search, if you will tell you the 5 key pieces to us telling a story. But really it's about, we want to feel connected to these individuals. We want to feel like we've went through and experienced their pain and their excitement and their joy, with them. And then we also want to know, how did you actually do that? And ultimately, if you can put all of that in a fun caption without being super long-winded, you're gonna win.
I like to tell people, like, look, you got to understand that people buy feelings. They don't buy facts. And when you're out there selling yourself, you've got to understand that when people are following you, they're paying attention to you, they're watching your content, and you're just talking about all of these things that you're doing, facts, you're not really helping yourself actually build a relationship with the prospective client that may be following you, right? People buy feelings. So how can we really start creating content that sells a little bit of the emotion? And I think that if we look at Million Dollar Listing, is just the easiest illustration of this. You know, reality TV is one of the number one most consumed forms of television content. And one of the reasons because of that is all of these range of emotions that people put, that they're documenting throughout these shows. And I think that agents have, I think up until recently, it's gotten better, been very perceptive. Like, I want to drive the nice car. I want to wear the nice clothes, live in the nice house. I want people to think that working with me is a perfect thing. But what that show has, I believe, shown a lot of, at least real estate agents, is that actually, if you can show the more dramatic sides of your transactions, not be afraid of the confrontational moments, or not be afraid of the maybe parts of a transaction that didn't go so well, if you can be vulnerable and you can share those things, people will connect with you because they're able to really see how you handle certain situations. Maybe a transaction didn't go the way you planned, but what your clients, or at least your future clients, want to know is, how are you going to show up when that thing does go wrong? How do you handle it? How did you handle that situation? And then they can say, like, you know, that's probably not how I would have handled it, but maybe he did a great job, or maybe she did a good job, or she did an awful job. I don't want to work with her. But your content is at least helping you build it and nurture a relationship because they get to see that wide range of emotions, similar to reality TV. Do you have any thoughts or comments on that?
Yeah. So what I wanted to say, I was taking notes when you were saying that, because there's some really powerful quotes out of that. And one of them is being vulnerable and willing to share kind of the behind the scenes of some of the not as exciting or not as happy parts of a transaction. And one of the things that couples with that, right, we create content on our feed, we develop content to go out there. But in most cases, it's static, right? It's these static images, or it's a quick video, or in a lot of cases, it's, you know, a pretty template we're going to make in Canva. But where the magic happens on Instagram, when it comes to telling these stories very off the cuff and very behind the scenes, is in stories. Like, literally, we're telling stories in stories, right? So a lot of times people have said the, or created this kind of situation around Instagram where why would I use Instagram over Snapchat, or why would I use Instagram over LinkedIn, or, you know, Michelle, convince me why Instagram's the number one place. And my answer is because on Instagram, I can do all of those things that Snapchat wants me to do, TikTok wants me to do, LinkedIn wants me to do. I can do all of that. I can have a YouTube channel on Instagram if I want now. And what I'm getting at is being vulnerable on the platform in the story feature very much so feels like the Snapchat concept, right? Because why did people love Snapchat so much? Because they could put out content that they otherwise wouldn't, because it went away instantly, right? But now we get to do the same thing in stories and be very vulnerable and be very willing to connect with our audience. And I'll give some examples of some students of mine that have done this very, very well. And it's getting in your car when you're driving home from a transaction and saying, guys, I just showed this buyer 10 houses today. And all 10 of these, honestly, were perfect for them. They were within the budget. They were within the right areas. They were yada, yada, yada. You keep going down the list, but yet they still weren't willing to pull the trigger. Now here, let me talk to you about why that's probably not a great thing, especially in our current existing environment. And then, you know, even on the positive side, you're walking out of the closing room and you're so excited for these buyers because 6 months ago when you first connected with them, they had terrible credit scores. They had never thought they'd ever be able to buy a house. Or, you know, the one client I have, is, I always love saying this, is she was working with a veteran, you know, a husband and wife. The husband was still active duty. The wife was a veteran, so they were definitely qualified for VA. But the guy, the husband in his mind said, oh, I have to save 20%. I have to have all this money to put down. And he just didn't know that he didn't have to do that at all. But when he heard another agent post that in their stories and was consuming Instagram, kind of mindlessly scrolling, and sees that, all of a sudden he goes from, crap, my wife's having our second baby in a 2-bedroom apartment, to now I get to buy a home even when I'm deployed and overseas so that my wife can bring a baby home to a house and actually raise our children in a place that has space for them to grow into. And that's the power of stories, in my opinion, because we get to do all of that vulnerable stuff, even if we're just sitting in our car, holding our phone, talking to it. And one of the things too, to piggyback off of that, is people feel like it has to be so perfect all the time. And what really stories are supposed to be is the opposite. It's so imperfect. It's not polished. It's not this like perfectly curated content. It's allowing people to connect with you on an emotional level and feel like they're part of your day. You know, and a lot of the people I've talked to have said to me time and time again, we love seeing what you're going to post in stories because every day it's something totally different. We never know what you're going to post. And it keeps people excited. It keeps people engaged. And a lot of times I feel like I have calls with people who know more about me than I feel like they should. And it's because of that. And I think that's the beauty of telling stories on a platform that gives us that vulnerability in a way that's feels safe at the same time.
I love it. You know, what comes to mind, you know, if I was a real estate agent, and I'm not, you know, I've just spent the last decade of my life helping real estate agents. But if I was a real estate agent, I would literally put so much effort into essentially making mini documentaries out of each one of my transactions. I mean, literally a videographer, somebody that's there to document the experience. My clients would understand that that's part of working with me, and that is that somebody's going to be following us around with the camera the entire time. And I would take those and literally make 3 to 5 minute mini documentaries about each and every one of those transactions, because they're the best selling tools. People getting to see how you deal with transactions, good, bad, or indifferent, is without question, unequivocally, your greatest sales tool. And in a season in real estate where nobody wants to call, text, or email, they just don't want to create content, it is so important that you check all the boxes with your content so that you can continue doing those things. I think there's agents in the industry right now that kill this. Like, they are so good at just making their content do all of the hard work and heavy lifting of selling people so that they don't have to. And then I think there are people that are still beating up the phones. And I'm not saying this is the right way or the wrong way, but what I am saying is that if you can get strategic about creating content that converts, like Michelle, you're teaching everybody, I think that you can kill it. I really do.
Yeah, I think you gotta be willing to buy into creating virtual relationships with people and not being so petrified by them. You know, I'm not one to ever say like, hey, door knocking won't work. Like, I know it works. It's a, you know, strategy as a time. But like what I always tell people is, would you rather spend 5 hours of your day door knocking, or would you rather spend 5 hours of your day creating, as you said, your documentary or little tiny mini micro content pieces of, or micro forms of content to produce the same exact story with half the work, right? Mm-hmm. Or with half the time, or even if it's the same amount of time, but the amount of people you can reach by producing it on social media or Instagram versus door knocking one door at a time. I mean, I don't know anybody that wouldn't agree with that, that you can connect with more people in that way. Yep. Same thing with cold calling. And, you know, you and I, Grant, are friends in many ways, but when it comes to Facebook ads, you've definitely helped me trust what we're doing on that side. But one of the things that I struggle with Facebook ads with a lot of agents is that's where they put their money first without having any organic presence whatsoever, without having any social media presence really in general. I literally was on Clubhouse and heard a guy say, I'm doing Facebook ads and I get great leads. They cost me about, you know, $600 a person or $600 per transaction. But, you know, I have to work really hard and I have to spend $10,000 a month on them to get the deals and to keep the phone ringing. And the guy was on this Clubhouse chat asking about, should he have Instagram or is it worth having Instagram or not? And I thought to myself, I'm like, you're totally missing the point, right? You're trying to go straight to cold leads and cold traffic, and you're missing that the generation that you're really trying to attract is going to go look you up on all of those other social media platforms before making that decision. So even mm-hmm. if you spent an hour a day trying to have a better Instagram presence, yeah. that same amount of money you're spending, if it's $10,000 a month on Facebook ads, is going to produce 15 times the return, because people are actually going to see content that backs up who you say you are versus like, who the heck is this guy ending up in on my feed?
I think it's really important. You know, we made this mistake really early on and got very transactional about the way that we ran advertisements. And that's where the whole client generation process was born. And we teach people every day, okay, step one, generate leads. Step two, build a brand. Step three, convert customers. And I know that maybe contradicts what you just said, but the idea here is that level two, that step two, build a brand. That part is paramount to the success of a Facebook advertising campaign, a Google PPC campaign, a Zillow lead, a open house lead. If you don't have something that is remarketing these people and allowing you to build a relationship with them, that you're likely going to lose, because if every single lead statistically is shared amongst 9 other agents and everybody's calling, texting, and emailing with the same scripts, like how on earth are you actually going to go stand out? And if you aren't creating content, that's the lesson that we learned, is like we got very transactional. And so I stopped creating as much content because I got comfortable with the success that we were having. And when those campaigns wore out or got shifted, we didn't have any brand to lean back on to support us while, you know, we were figuring out a new campaign that worked or so on and so forth. And so we really learned a hard lesson years ago and made sure that content creation was a staple in what we did. And it's a staple in that client generation process, where we've got to build a relationship with our audience, both through paid advertising and organic, if we really want to have a formula that's going to allow us to go out there and succeed at a high level. So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I mean, they have to be happening, in my opinion, really at the same time in order for the money we spend on advertising to matter. You know, and a lot of people have asked me over the years, I've been in business, you know, I'm working on my 7th year, but a lot of people have asked me, Michelle, why did you just start doing ads, you know, last year, like at the end of last year? And my answer was because I worked and have continued to work so hard on building a very organic and very relationship-based brand, so that when I did start running ads, as you know, right, my focus is on building relationships that are so strong with these cold leads, although they're really not that cold by the time they get to, you know, our masterclass or our retargeting or any of that stuff. Because by the time they've seen my ad, they've probably already seen my Instagram account. they probably already seen or heard me on a podcast. And so by the time that happens, it's actually not even a cold lead, because my brand and the person behind my name actually can back that up. And I think that that's why having both simultaneously and having them have to exist at the same time is so important. And it actually honestly frustrates the crap out of me when a brand new agent who's never sold a house before goes and spends thousands and thousands of dollars on Facebook ads or, handouts that go in our, or mailers that go in our inbox that we never read in, or like our mailbox and we throw out, when if they spent that same exact amount of money on building a organic presence on social media, on YouTube, building a YouTube channel or building whatever, that same amount of money that they would spend 6 months later would return 10 times what it would had they done that in the beginning.
I love it. I agree. Couldn't agree more. Michelle, this has been an incredible conversation, and I know that the people listening to this are going to be able to take something, one thing from this conversation and go, have some form of success. What is the best way for somebody to connect with you if they want to learn more about what you're doing, want to learn more about the Instagram Power Method?
Instagram. That's me in a nutshell, 100%. I respond to my Instagram the fastest. If you DM me there, it's honestly, that's my number one place. I always laughingly kind of tell people, if you email me, you're going to be last on the list, because I'm on Instagram way more than I'm in my inbox. I always tell people, just shoot me a DM on Instagram. Tell me how you found me, and I'd love to chat with you.
And what's your handle on Instagram?
Berman Media Social. So Berman is Berman Media Social.
Love it, guys. We'll make sure that we connect that in the show notes, and we'll connect other ways that you can reach out and learn more about Michelle. I highly recommend that you do it. As you've heard, she adds a ton of value everywhere that she's connected to people, and she's been really great to work with from my standpoint, and I know some of the people that she's working with are having a lot of success too. And so, Michelle, thank you again. I appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening so much. We appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks, and have an amazing day.